my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 264 of the My 1-2-3 cents podcast, and this episode is special, not because of my guest co-host, although he is special too. I'm kidding. This is a dual specialness episode, I guess, for lack of a better word. This is actually, today as this show drops on December 9th, this is the 5-year anniversary to the day of the very first My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. So I want to thank Greg Mahochka with the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network for inviting me to be a part of this great experience. Check out all the shows right here at jitterymonkey.com. And of course, I want to thank all of you for listening to this podcast week in and week out. I am proud of the fact that it has been 5 years. Every Monday for the last 5 years, this show has dropped. So maybe it's made your Monday brighter. Maybe it's made your Monday even worse than it is, typically is. But either way, you're listening and I appreciate it. And it's also special because we are celebrating, and Tyler, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, the biggest night in the history of Stride Pro Wrestling. And I know that phrase gets kind of tossed around a lot, but literally, Saturday night, December 7th, 2019, Stride Pro Wrestling's biggest night. Is that fair to say?
I would definitely say. I think that's a pretty accurate comment.
Yeah. So Tyler Heath Hatton, owner of Stride Pro Wrestling, my friend, and you know, as cheesy mentor, as I feel saying it, tag team partner. What did you say?
Mentor.
Yeah, in a way, yes. That's fair to say. But such a big night, and I we'll get into what went down throughout the course of the night. But I can tell you, as we record this on Sunday evening, I'm hurting from the action, and it was such a fun night though, and I left Black Diamond, Harley Davidson, and Marion with that wrestling buzz, if you will, where you just know you had a great night of action, and a lot of people came out to support Curly, and we've talked about Curly the last 2 months on the podcast, kind of building up to this, but it really kind of resonated, I think, and a lot of fans realized it last night, or Saturday night, as you got into the ring, and kind of explained why we were doing this, and, you know, you said, in your own words, without Curly, there would be no Stride Pro Wrestling today, and it kind of explained to our listeners why that is.
Hang on, what was your question? Sorry, somebody was knocking at my door. So, go ahead and ask that question again.
Okay, so you mentioned in the ring Saturday night, without Curly, there'd be no Stride Pro Wrestling. So kind of explain to our listeners the significance of that statement, because, you know, Curly wrestled a few shows for Stride, but he had such an influence and an impact on you in the very first part of your career.
I think we talked about it when we did the podcast on Curly. Is, you know, he's the one that opened the wrestling school, and so without him, you know, me meeting him and him, you know, training me. And when I say, you know, I had so many people that influenced me along the way, but the person that trained me how to wrestle was Curly.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I'm not even exaggerating one single bit when I talk about how many times it was just me and him at the wrestling school, and at least 20 or 30 times through my training was just me and him. And I would text him and say, you know, on a Sunday, or he would message me on a Friday afternoon and say he was going to go up there. He wanted to know if I wanted to go, because back then, Curly's dream was to go to WWE at this time. And so he was trying to get, they had reached out to him, I believe. And he was trying to get in shape, and he knew I would go up there at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he trained me. And so without him having that school, without him having the patience, and without him training me, I don't think I would have went anywhere else. You know, I was able to meet him, which introduced me to Jay Spade and Shane Rich and other guys that took me up to Olney to wrestle on Wednesday nights and a few Fridays. But I don't know if I would have ever met them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I met him and I met Curly, and he trained me. And that's what made me get into wrestling. And then from there, that's, you know, honestly, he's the one that brought in to the area. In my opinion, he's the one that made All-American Pro Wrestling work before Chris Hagstrom came along.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many shows that he was on where 75% of the crowd was there for him because he had such a big following. So he's the one that kept me in it, kept me wanting to do it, introduced me to the right people. And, you know, without his training or him teaching me how to be entertaining, without him teaching me all the things that he taught me, I don't know if I make it to WWE. I don't know if I make it anywhere mm-hmm. without him. So when I say that this wouldn't be here, I'm a firm believer without him, there definitely be for sure no Heath Hatton. And there probably, you know, obviously wouldn't have been no Strike Pro Wrestling.
Right. And that makes sense. And you mentioned, you know, the crowds that come out or, you know, came out in those early days of AAPW to support Curly. Saturday night, as we held the Strike Pro Wrestling Presents AAPW Resurrection, more than 600 fans packed into Black Diamond Harley Davidson. That is a new record. I don't know. Does this... I know it's a record for Stride, and I know it topped AAPW's main event by a couple of hundred folks. Does this set a record for all of Southern Illinois, do you think, in terms of attendance? You know, and that's a hell of a crowd to have with no names. You know, when we mentioned main event, we had, you know, Pac and El Generico and Colt Cabana. And you go to some of these other shows where, you know, Scott Steiner or Jerry the King Law, you know, you've had these WWE Hall of Famers or WWE legends that have shown up, but this event, obviously, folks were coming out to support Curly. What was your reaction? I know at one point I could tell that the crowd had an impact on you.
It was special for, I guess, for me because of, you know, like, I you know, people... You probably, you know, like we say, you know me on a personal level, and people know that I'm the most, you know, laid back, you know, and I don't really like attention mm-hmm. on myself. And so I'm very private, I'm very quiet in my private life. And so I do a lot of things for other people. And so that's, you know, kind of been my niche my whole life. And so part of, you know, and we've talked about this before, me starting Stride was for guys in the area that wasn't getting to wrestle other places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of these guys didn't get opportunities in AAPW. And some of these guys didn't get opportunities when other companies were in the area. And, you know, there's another, you know, other companies that kind of run close to us and don't give these guys opportunities. And they were bringing, you know, and guys were bringing in people from Tennessee or other, you know, other areas, and then making local guys either not get to wrestle or lose to all of them.
Right.
Or, you know, guys from, you know, Chicago or wherever, and they were just coming in and, you know, and our guys were just, you know, doing the job for these guys. And I've always been a firm believer for years that I felt like Tony Flood at the time and Jay Spade and Farmer Billy Hills and, you know, all these guys, Axe Allward, they were all stars mm-hmm. and they were all really good wrestlers. I just felt like they were never given the right character or the right push or the right storyline. And I was, so for, to me, I was like, I can build that. I can do that. I'm good at this. So I did this for them. Mm-hmm. And then all these shows that I've done have been, you know, shows for the schools, or I put together Buried Alive match, you know, for Red Daniels and Chris Hargis, or I put together, you know, ladder matches for other people. And I put together, you know, people told me they wanted to do this, like 2 out of 3 falls or a handicap mat, you know, and I've put together all these stories for other people. And I, this show was a show that I wanted to put together for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted, this show was 100% for me to give to somebody like Curly, who I, you know, thank the world of, who is a close friend of mine. And then I also wanted to bring back Sean, you know, Maccabee, Chambers, Carnage. I wanted to bring back Gaylord Stevens. I wanted to bring back Edmund McGuire. And we, I feel like we've built this huge company, this huge following. And I, you know, and these guys, they, fans don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
And our fans don't remember them. And our fans, you know, and they're online or whatever, but I kind of wanted to show them, like, how good Shane Rich is, how good Edmund Livewire McGuire was, how, like, big they were for us. Like, without them, we wouldn't have had this. Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, for me, it was, I have so many guys that try to come in and run close to our area, or come in and steal our talent, or come in and try to market or run off of what, you know, the ideas I've came up with and the characters I've created. And I get that. That's part of wrestling. But with that being said, all these guys that do that stuff, they all try to tell me, you need this guy. You need this guy. You need this guy. And I, you know, and you're on the Facebook page with me and mm-hmm. you see all these right. guys that message.
Sure.
And I'll come in for $100. I'll come in for this. And I'm like, I don't need them. I can do this with Dexter Roswell. I can do this with Red Daniels.
Right.
I can do this with Riser or Scott Phoenix. And people have mouthed me. And you know, I always laugh and say I'm immune to what people think about me. But, I mean, I'm told. And this person mouthed me, or this person said this, or this person said that, or this person's quit because they were mad at what I put together. Last night was like, you know, I mean, say whatever you want. Last night was, you know, it was all, it was 100% me. And I'm not like taking the credit, but you know, that was me that got the talent. That was me that put those matches together. That was me that got that venue. That was me that got those chairs, you know, and I hate that. I don't really like to ever take credit or anything, but it was, you know, the whole thing was my idea and it was my design, and I had people input and people try to tell me and people try to change things, and I said, no, this is the way I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what happened. And it was kind of self-fulfilling for me. And I have so many people, like, I think that helped me, obviously. Right. And that were so, you know, just, you know, without your podcast, or without, you know, the guys hanging up flyers, or without Sam making the flyer or the posters, or the, like, it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the, it felt like what my idea, my concept, what I firmly believed in, what I've pushed for 4 years, like at Strideversary, and then again tonight, like, that it worked. And then seeing all those people, and then hearing how excited the boys were when I told them, hey guys, we've eclipsed 600 people and we had to take all the chairs from the locker room. We had to get chairs out of your car.
Yeah.
And to see how excited they were, and to hear guys come up to me and say, dude, I'm nervous. Look at my goosebumps.
Yeah.
And like, I was looking out and I saw Cash Borden come out of the, you know, out of the back, and he goes, wow. When he like looked around, because it was breathtaking. When you see that,
yeah.
And you're like, you know, Main Event was breathtaking at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, me and you can both allude just how many more people were
right.
there, you know, last night.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, getting the extra chairs, and there were still people who were standing. You know, more than 600 people coming through, and you know, and it obviously the crowd was there for Curly, but there were wrestling fans there. You know what I mean? Like, we do some of these fundraiser shows, and you know they're there out of obligation. You know, their kid is on the football team or on the soccer team or whatever it may be, and they're not into it. We're not going to see those people again. But we had a lot of people who were repeat customers from before. They may not come to every show, but there were a lot of fans there who had been around Stride in the past. And that's what I loved about it, too, was people were into it and they loved what they saw. And I just felt like, you know, to be a part of a main event, you know, almost 8 years ago now, and then to be a part of this show for Curly, for AAPW Resurrection, it just means the world, because we're helping people out. And you know, I know you don't like to take the, well, you do, but you're not going to toot your own horn. So, you know, Stride Pro Wrestling to date has raised tens of thousands of dollars. This past show with the Curly benefit, nearly $4,000 there. I mean, we're talking, you know, major life-changing money for some of these schools or storm victims or, you know, individuals battling illnesses and diseases that, you know, people dismiss and discount pro wrestling all the time. But at the heart of it, there are a lot of men and women in this business that have huge hearts and want to give back and help. And it's just kind of a unique way to do that.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think last night was, you know, it just had so many good feelings to it. And to see Curly walk around, to see him happy, you know, and then, you know, to see the boys get to do that in front of the crowd, and to see, you know, Dalton Anthony. Mm-hmm. He didn't know who Edna McGuire was. He had never seen Carnage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these guys, you know, were good. These guys were great. These guys were amazing people. And, you know, Garrett Turner, like, getting to wrestle with, you know, Shane Rich. Like, it's like, you know, do they know how lucky they are?
Right, right.
You know, because to me, when I was a Garrett, like, Shane Rich was the guy. You mm-hmm. know, he was just like... I mean, I was always different, like, than these guys. And I guess I'm going to go kind of tie back to Curly. Like, that's what, you know, Garrett texted me today and was talking about setting up the ring and tearing down. And, you know, like the day we did the Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was the first one at the building, and then I set up the ring, and then I wrestled the Iron Man for an hour. And then I'm the last one to leave the building, and I tear it down. And I got that from Curly. If you mm-hmm. remember the AAPW days, yeah. me and Curly were really the only two wrestlers that showed up
right.
to set up. And we did that every single time. And we tore down. And then when Curly left, you know, it was me. And I think Dalton Diamond actually came in a few times. But pretty much it was me and Curly. And I got that from him. And he pounded that in my head to always do that. And so I've always been that way, and I've tried to push. And you have guys like Garrett Dexter Oswald, that's, he still does it because mm-hmm. it's the right thing to do in the business, and you get ahead. But I used to, when I would wrestle these AAPW shows, I was always first or second match, usually against Carnage in some way, shape or form. And I would go and I would hide and I would just sit and watch the whole show. And then the main event, I would think, man, Edmund McGuire or Shane Rich or Steven Davis, like, I'm never going to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
I would just watch them because I was so, like, I loved wrestling and I loved watching it. And I think that's why I'm probably why I understand booking better than most. It's because I would always watch everybody's different characters. And I would think, what if they did this or what if they did that? And then... So I would watch all their matches, and that's how I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch a Riser match, and I'll be like, man, like, he would be so good if he did this. Or I would watch this guy's match. And so, you know, last night I got to take those guys that I always wanted to do stuff with or book for, and I got to combine them with the guys I see now. And I'm like, what would be, you know, the perfect story? What would make the most sense for Dexter Roswell? What would make the most sense for an Edmund McGuire? And I got to do that last night. And, you know, and you know, he went Carnage. Carnage's whole story was beating up on the new Green Kid. That's what he always did. So who's the new Green Kid? It's Dalton Anthony. So, you know, it to me, it was, you know, that's what was so, like, wow last night.
Well, one thing I noticed, and it kind of piggybacks off of what you are saying, you know, I wasn't sure how, you know, we were in that big locker room that Black Diamond, you know, always had for us back in the AAPW days. To me, you know, because I did wrestle, are you still there?
Here I am.
Okay. I'm getting another call. Chad Smart is trying to interrupt this podcast, so I'm going to leave this in and admonish him. But, you know, to me,
he doesn't listen.
The big thing was I wasn't sure, you know, were the old school AAPW guys, you know, were they going to be off on one side of the room and the Stride guys on the other side? And, you know, not ring announcing and having a match, being a part of a match for the show, I was back in the locker room for most of the night. And I did go out and watch some of the matches, but the unique part was I was listening to the conversations, and it was the, you know, our young Stride guys talking with the AAPW veterans and getting that, you know, almost sitting under that learning tree, if you will. And I thought that was really cool because there's so much talent and there's so much experience there that our guys can soak up and get different perspectives outside of you and Axe and Jay, you know, who are kind of the locker room leaders at this point. You know, they were able to talk to Shane Rich or to Sean or to Edmund. And I thought that was really a unique part of the whole night as well. And then, of course, getting to see Bob Fester and Chris Hagstrom coming in as well to be a part of the show. It just it was, you know, and obviously not everybody from the old AAPW was able to make it due to whether it was medical or they're retired now or whatever the issue may have been. But, you know, you had a lot of great name recognition, name brand guys that were able to come in for this show.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, everybody, I mean, Casey Jackson, Mississippi Madman, Chuck Thompson, they all wanted to come in, you know, and they were, you know, very excited, you know, wanting to, but, you know, with jobs and work, they couldn't do it, but the ones that did come, you know, guys from the Convoys came, and they couldn't wrestle anymore, they're retired, and, you know, medical issues, but they were still there, hanging out with the boys, and, you know, and that was awesome. And like you said, I got to sit and actually talk to Bob for a little bit. And he came up to me and he said, "Holy smokes, like, your fans are loyal." It's the first thing he said to me. And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "They were booing the, you know, the American, I can't think of what
All
his
American?
Name is now. All American." Yeah. He's like, "He's coming out with a flag, American flag, and they're booing him." and I said, "Man, our fans are just, you know, we did the Stride versus IWAP show, and, you know, they were just booing the crap out of, you know, and they're, you know, were good guys, and they were, you know, entertaining guys." And it was very, you know, humbling last night. You have all those people, and they're going nuts for our guys. And then he made a comment about the long-haired guy. You know, he's like, "He got just gigantic pop." And he's like, I turned my head, it was so loud. And he's talking about Scott Phoenix returning.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that to me is what is neat and great, because they all, you know, to hear him come up to me and talk about Scott Phoenix, who trained at the school.
Yeah.
You know, and has kind of, you know, developed into his own guy and his own thing, and just, you know, 600 people, and he's getting that ovation, and, you know, and it's just, it's very humbling. And it's just, you know, to hear the crowd, and, you know, to put, you know, Chris Hagstrom in that spot and let him go talk, and, you know, I mean, for a long time, Chris Hagstrom has told me he's wanted to turn heel. Mm-hmm. And I used to beg him to turn heel at APW.
Yeah.
And I used to beg him to turn heel at Pro Wrestling Collision. And, you know, he had other people we won't talk about that was always like, no, he can't turn heel. But, you know, that's probably why that didn't work out. But it was exciting for me because I know he's always wanted to do that. And he got to do it last night. And
yeah.
They got such a reaction. And then the kind of way they had the bad breakup with Sean and Chris, and to see Chris get what he deserved from Sean,
yeah,
quote unquote. And, you know, I mean, it was cool.
I felt like the show also provided some closure with how AAPW ended and Pro Wrestling Collision and then that failed experiment. I just felt like Saturday night, there was some redemption, and I know we called it resurrection, but I just felt like everything kind of got wrapped up and you know, resolved, I guess, for lack of a better word.
To me, it was so, I don't know, it was so, you know, our last show was at the, you know, at Black Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a, you know, I don't want to say bad night, but it was such a bad feeling night because there was a lot of creative differences. There was a lot of confusion, I guess, and arguments about how the night was going to end. And we all just kind of left, and we left with a bad taste in our mouth that
right.
night. And
yeah.
We really didn't know, and there was, you know, like I said, we knew something wasn't right, something wasn't good. And so then last night, I don't think anybody left upset. I don't think anybody left mad, you know, from the fans to anybody. And to be honest, that was by far our longest running show ever.
Right.
You know, well over 3 hours. And I don't ever like to do that, but I wanted to give these guys a platform. And I mean, I feel like the WWE can have a 9-hour wrestling show, you know, I can have a 3-hour wrestling show.
And, sure.
And, you know, and some of the crowd thinned out, but even, you know, I hate to say it, even during the Heath Hatton Huntsberger match, you know, some of the crowd had thinned out.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still 400 people there.
Right.
You know, right. And by the main event, I had walked out and I was like, man, they're going to be upset because the crowd. And then I look and there's still a packed house.
Yeah, it was a healthy crowd, you know? For sure.
And it's usually when you do shows that long, they, you know, they thin out. And it was just, you know, that. The worst part about the whole night was that we ran out of room.
Yeah.
You know, and that was really honestly, and we had talked before the show, and it probably looked a little different than people who saw the pictures. We moved the ring closer to, you know, the north end, so that way. And you know what is funny to me, and I don't even know if I told you this last night. My buddy, his name's Dalton Hutch,
mm-hmm.
and he works at Black Diamond.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, and so he works, actually, he sells campers, and he was there during the day, and we put out those chairs, and there was another rack upstairs, and I went and got it, and I put it out, and I think I told you, I can't imagine us filling all these.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did say that, yep.
Because there was over 400 people, and anyway, you know, over 400 chairs, and I was like, I don't see us, and I even told you to not get the other chairs
right.
out. And I said, there's put us over 500 people, and I can't imagine that. And so I'm standing by the elevator, and this guy walked out. I don't know who he was. And he was an employee there, and he's like, these guys are crazy if they think these seats are going to be full.
Oh, wow.
And I had turned, and I said, well, I would rather have them out now than have to go upstairs with that elevator and get them later. And he was like, well, I hope you guys have this many people, but I seriously doubt it.
Wow.
But I mean, he wasn't being a jerk.
Right, right.
And so when we had him, it was just, like I said, I walked upstairs and, you know, I took a video and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is unreal. This is literally, you know, this is just crazy to me. They made I think $1,500, $1,600 at the concession stand.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, just that's, you know, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, and luckily Black Diamond let us put them up on the rafters again. If we wouldn't have been able to, yeah, to put them up there, you know, I don't know. And I found out people did leave before because they couldn't find, you know, they came in and saw there was too many people, and, you know, they were told at the door that it was standing room only, so they left.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that's a bummer.
You're right.
But, you know, that's a, I guess if you're going to have a problem, that's the best problem to have.
That is a good problem to have. Well, you know, as we kind of wrap things up on this week's episode, I do want to talk about the six-man tag team match that we were a part of, because...
Mark.
Of course. Well, it is my show after all, so no. Honestly, you know, reflecting back on it, and obviously the large crowd played into it all, but I just... had such, and I hate to use the word good time with it, but I can't articulate it well enough, the feeling I had before the match, because I was nervous going into it, but, you know, getting out there, doing it, and then the ending, and I don't know, it was just a lot of fun, and I think the fans enjoyed what they saw as well.
I mean, it was... You know, I put this match together, you know, and not to toot my own horn, but if I could have had it my way, I would have went two different ways. If I could have had it my way, it would have been, you know, me, Jay Spade, and Tony Flood, and Kevin Huntsberger versus Roger, Chris Hargis, Axe Allwart, and Gaylord. You know, if I could have painted the perfect picture.
Right, right.
That would have been the... And so, anyway, my favorite opponents are Chris Hargis, Jay Spade, Roger Mathis, and Axe Allward, and Tony Flood.
Yeah.
And so, I almost found a way to put everybody in that match. And so, last night, like, I'm guessing you saw it and... or felt it. Working with those guys and working with Chris Hargis and working with Roger and working with Spade is, to me, I love working with Roger and I love working with, I mean, Chris Hargis.
Yeah.
And they, you know, like, I've never had, you know, they always kind of follow my lead and follow the way I put stuff together. And I could tell, as I'm putting this match together, you have this look on your face, you know, because it was a lot, you know,
right.
And even Spade was like, no, wait, when is this? And I, you know, kept, you know, and I was like, trust me, it's going to be good. And it flowed perfectly. And it, you know, we put you in spots to make you look amazing, I felt like. And, but it was such a fun match. And, you know, like you had, and then say, I can't say enough about Savion.
Oh my God. Yes.
I mean, he, like, you know, he rose to the occasion. He had a lot of spots he had to do.
Yeah.
And being in that match, if somebody's going to take a lot, it's going to have to be him.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of stuff planned for him to do, because let's be honest, Heath Hatton's got to get all his spots in. And he remembered them all.
Right.
And, you know, and he listened and he was on cue and on point with everything. And I, you know, I don't know if there could have been a more perfect, you know, person in that spot to, you know, because he did such a great job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went back and watched all of it. I mean, the noise that the crowd made when you hit your power bomb, you know, was, you know, it was pretty amazing.
And, you know,
it was,
I'm not going to, and it's going to come off sounding braggadocious, but I was nervous about that spot, because up until that afternoon, I had never done that before. And my phone afterward, when I got back to the locker room, people were like, oh my God, that powerbomb was amazing. And, you know, I'm still getting, and people after the show were patting me on the back, and I'm like, thank you. But it was Savion. You know, Savion is the one that put himself in that position, and I just caught him and did my thing with it. So it was, it goes back to, I don't think fans realize how important that relationship with the wrestlers is, because you just mentioned all these guys that you love to work with, and you are entrusting your body with them, but they're also trusting you with theirs. So there's so much, and I can't say enough about Hargis and Mathis specifically, because I think those are the two guys I've been in there against the most with the tag team matches that we've had, to trust me and to let me, you know, Mathis is a 300-pound Viking badass, and, you know, I'm in there giving him a code breaker, and, you know, he's selling it and everything else. And, you know, I can't say enough about Hargis either, with the way he's been, and just very, very great individuals to work with. And, of course, Savion doing all his stuff as well. So,
well, yeah, I'm really glad you said that, because, with Savion, and this is how I'm very big on when I talk to these guys and we put stuff together and we start going over psychology. I always tell them why me and Axe Allward have such good matches is because I'm the whole time we're wrestling, I'm trying to make him look good. Everything I do, every move I take, everything I do is me trying to make them look good.
Mm-hmm.
And Axe Allward is trying to make Keith Hatton look good. Everything he's doing is trying to make me look good. So it works. And you have guys in the business that I've noticed that, and not for negative reasons, but, you know, like they want to make themselves look good because they want to look good for the crowd or for the company and make the company money. And that doesn't work. You have to make the other person look good. So Savion is, he understands that, and he, you know, he's a very green kid, but he bumps and he moves and he sells, and he knows, okay, if I can make this power bomb look good, then the match is going to look good. And so, like, I'm really glad that you said that, because that, you know, like, he's learning so much and he's understanding. You know, like, I mean, he jumped up right on your shoulders.
Right.
And, you know, and he said, I'm dead, you know, and, you know, and so, and he, you know, I told him, I want you to say you're dead, or, you know, every match he's in, and by God, he does it.
Yep.
And, you know, he does it with that Savion smile on his face, because he told us before we went out, I said, I'm not smiling anymore. I'm not. I quit. I've been practicing it. And then I look over at him and he's got this huge smile on his face. And, I mean, it was a special night. And like I said, it's probably the first night that it was special for me. It mm-hmm. was just, I don't ever like to do anything for myself or do anything where I pat myself on the back. And, you know, my kid will tell you that I have a laundry list of awards and stuff I've won, and I don't really, they don't mean anything, you know. You know, I tell her all the time, you know, because she plays softball. I tell her every award, every tournament, every championship I won when I was 12 had no bearing on the outcome of my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But last night, like, to me it was winning an award, and it doesn't do anything, you know, but just a great memory. And it just solidifies, you know, to me, you know, you were right. Your idea, your plan, you know, your execution, like everything that you wanted to do and your vision, like, was right. So I was happy, and I was actually praising you to Rachel this morning, you know, about how much of a help you were last night, and how much of a help, like, Sam was.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and there's a lot of times I feel like I'm doing stuff on my own where I feel like I can't pass anything off to anybody else because they just won't do it, or they'll half-ass it.
Right.
I'm not really the half-ass type.
No.
And so I was actually talking about how much of a help Kevin Huntsberger was when he didn't have a project that he had to go do, and you know, and so, yeah, so thank you to you, for you were a huge help, and I, you know, And Sam, gosh, Sam was a gigantic help, you know, because we had an announcer not be able to get. Mm-hmm. And then you had to get, you know, he'd do a fit to wrestle. So that left me and Sam floated. And Sam, you know, like Sam should be actually paid $300 a night, you know, and he doesn't get paid anything. And, mm-hmm. and Jim's the same way. And, you know, and without them, I mean, I couldn't have done it. So
sure.
Absolutely. Everybody stepped up and it was great.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to end this on a high note. It was a great night. Again, follow StrideProWrestling.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. And if you are living in the Southern Illinois area, even Southeast Missouri, because we've got guys coming from that area, or Western Kentucky, check out the Stride School. It is easy to do, and the classes are Tuesday and Thursday nights. Again, StrideProWrestling.com. The social media sites, and thank you everyone who came out and supported Stride, as well as my 1-2-3 cents here with the podcast. Tyler and I will be back next month to talk more about the Stride Cup, which is coming up on January 11th, but we're also going to talk about his experiences when he was trying out and when he had a match with the WWE as well. So friends, thank you so much for listening, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.